Yes, in Jesus' name, Lord, my heart is ravished. Lord, give us an ear today to hear grace. Give us a heart to hear mercy. Oh God, let us be attentive to the great love wherewith we are loved. There's nothing withheld from you. You are the lover of our soul. Lord, help your people today to enter in to that love, to God, fully embrace your Son as we are embraced, or as we have been apprehended. As Paul said, Lord, let me apprehend him of whom I am apprehended. Oh God, to see the heart of our loving Savior in just a little more glory, in just a little more wonder, in just a little more splendor. We give you the praise today. I know you'll do it. Our confidence is in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. I hope you have your Bibles today. If you don't have your Bible today, I would encourage you to get next to somebody who has a Bible today. Because as I said, this is a Bible sermon. And I thank God it should always be a Bible sermon. But we'll begin this morning in Hebrews chapter 11. And I was thinking as the Lord put this on my heart, I said, oh, it must be camp time. We're getting into camp time. So you know what that means, camp time. There's such an encouragement and truly an urgency, if you will. And again, I say a precious encouragement to be filled with the Holy Ghost and the fullness of the Holy Ghost. And I was just struck so sweetly this week. A sweet brother reached out and asked a question, why Jesus had to ascend before the Holy Ghost would be sent. And you know how the Lord will minister to your heart time and time again in all these different wonders and layers and visions. And it was sweet because as the Lord had me to write back to him, the Lord encouraged my heart, well, honey, that's what I want to speak to you about and to the people about this morning. And the reason for that ascension was there was a new beginning. There was something brand new that was coming on the scene, praise God. And it tells us here of that new beginning, if you will, in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse, let's begin 39. If you are not familiar with Hebrews chapter 11, this is the, if you will say, the faith hall of fame of the Old Testament, the worthies of faith in the Old Testament. By faith, by faith, by faith. All of those wonderful names that are, I'm sure, very familiar to most Christians and the things that God did for them. It wasn't by works. You'll find that not one of them worked for it. It was all by faith. It was all what God had done and that he had given this wonderful grace for them to believe the Lord for, as brother sang, a miracle. Well, let's read about the miracle of the Holy Ghost. And here's what it's for. And these, having all obtained a good report through faith, all of those Old Testament worthies of faith, they received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, or an exceeding thing, a more deeper thing, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Oh, my goodness. Now, we're talking the likes of an Abraham and a Moses, a Ruth, a Rahab, all these different ones that we just sit there in wonder as we read and see the faith that God had brought through them. The glory that they had in believing the Lord as they walked with God. And here the word of God tells us, assuredly, God having provided some better thing for you, an exceeding thing for you, because of this time that we live, because of the ascension of Jesus Christ and what that was for, that they without us should not be made perfect. We're going to run into that word perfect here in this study today. So I want you to be mindful of it. It means complete. Complete to the measure, the stature, this fullness of this time of what God is doing in this day of the better thing. But first, let's talk about the better thing. And Paul spoke of this better thing, brothers and sisters, many times throughout the Word of God. And he spoke of these things in his epistles. And over in Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll begin reading in verse 3. This is Brother Paul speaking of this better thing. How that by revelation, he said in Ephesians 3:3, how that by revelation, that means the veil was lifted. He was able to see into this. And Paul was the chosen vessel unto God, the chief of sinners. This chosen vessel was to bring forth this hidden mystery, this revelation that God had for us. Yes, the better thing. How that by revelation he made known unto me. And Paul takes that personally. The mystery. A mystery. As I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and his prophets by the Spirit. So you see, that better thing was not seen by those of the Old Testament. They wrote of those things. They ministered of those things. But it was not made known unto those men, as it is now revealed unto us. Amen. Unto his holy apostles and prophets. By who? By the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. Amen. That the Gentiles, here we are, should be fellow heirs. That means joint heirs as husband and wife of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Always by the gospel. Go on over to Romans 16. I love how the word of God says it in so many different ways. You've heard me say this often. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. And kind of always be encouraged of that in the word of God, and how the word of God ministers to a heart that wants to know. It will be love letter after love letter after love letter. Well, here the love letter goes on in Romans 16. Let's read from verse 25. Again, Paul speaking here. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Remember, Paul just said that given to me, the revelation that was given to me, that was hidden from all of those ones. They wrote about it, but they didn't look into it because it wasn't meant for them. Back to the better thing. Paul says, this is my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, the better thing, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. That word now keeps coming up, doesn't it? Now, 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 now. Now is the time. Praise be to God. Let's read of another glory of this same encouragement to us over in Colossians. In chapter 1, how beautiful our Lord is in sweetly giving us this precious truth. And in verse 24 of Colossians 1, actually let's read from verse 25. Paul again saying, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. Isn't that something again? How personally God came to him with this mystery. With this better thing. The same way the Lord comes to you with this mystery and this better thing. It's to you. Praise the Lord. Know this. Praise God. Now listen what was given to him. It was given to me for you to what? To fulfill the word of God. Now we're back to that same word perfect. We're back to that same word complete. This completes the word of God. I love this. I know that the Lord gave me my wife Polly to complete my life. He gave me my wife to complete my life. Jesus Christ is sitting right now at the right hand of God. He will not take the throne as God until he has the one that will complete him. Just like it is that God has shown for us. Until he has his wife. And when he has her, he will take the throne as God. That is the message that was given to Paul that fulfills the word of God. Who is the word of God? Jesus. Amen? What fulfills Jesus? The message that was given to Paul. What message was that? The bridal message. Praise God. Who then would complete Jesus? His wife. Praise his name. Praise his name. Praise his name. Amen. Now, it says even the mystery in verse 26. Once again, which has been hid from ages and from generations. He's speaking of those of the Old Testament. But now, amen, is made manifest to his saints. So once again, this is so beautiful. This is speaking of people that are already saved, is it not? Isn't a saint saved? So this is something that a saved person is being revealed. It's a furtherance beyond salvation. Amen. See how simple this is? It's just line upon line. It's precept upon precept. You cannot refute this. It's the word of God. Just read it for what it says. This was given, amen, in ages and generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. It's not made manifest to the world, because the world can't receive this. The world can't receive the Holy Ghost. It has to be a child of God that receives the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That's why at Pentecost, when those ones that gathered up there for those 40 days, they weren't sinners, they were believers. And they were waiting for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. They were waiting for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We're going to read about this in just a second. That they would be led into all truth. All truth. See how exciting this is? It's this wonderful mystery. I love mysteries. But I love mysteries revealed. That's the best kind of mystery. And this is the only mystery worth revealing. Hallelujah. But even the mystery which has been hid from ages, from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known. See, here's the mystery. And to the saints, what he wanted to make known. What is the riches of the glory of the mystery? What's the riches of the glory of the mystery? He took me to a mount. And I had to then look up, and descending from heaven was the bride. And it says she has the glory of God. You see, praise the Lord, how evident, and it's a cookie on a shelf, and it's only because the Holy Ghost. So here we are, by whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery. That's his wife. Hallelujah. Among the Gentiles, which is who? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So if you didn't know who the bridal ones who were called, it's you. It's right there. But is it the hope of glory in your heart? See, that's the difference. Is that your hope, is to be glory for him? Is that your hope, to be that bride descending from heaven, having the glory of God? It is my desire, because he loves me like this. It's my desire because he gave me this knowledge and he gave me this revelation, praise God, to see the word for what it is. I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn this thing. Oh, I absolutely the exact opposite. With as incredible as that reward would be to rule and to reign jointly together with him, to be loved with him, to be made known that he has loved me for all the ages to come. It would be the exact opposite of that is what I deserve. But God. But God. But God and this rich mercy. So to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory. That's me. I want it. Of this mystery. Once again, we're back to the better thing. The mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man, there's that word, perfect, complete, fully finished, fully grown in Jesus Christ. Oh, it's wonderful. And we just got going. Praise God. Get your tents. We're staying here. Now, do you see it? Do you see how quickly, by the grace of God, it would just let our minds be captivated by the truth. He brings us in. It's clear to the light. He's here. We gathered in his name. I believe him for this. Hallelujah. He that wills to know will know the word of God. He'll know the will of God. Do you want to know? By the grace of God, I don't think you'd be here if you didn't want to know. I want to know, and I want to know him more. And he'll do this. Now, there was a hidden mystery. It's very clear. And it was hidden from the prophets, and they wrote these things for us. They ministered these things. They wanted to see into it, but it wasn't for them. It was for a different time. It was for a time when the Holy Ghost would be sent. See, the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters, is vital for us to receive the knowledge of this mystery. Amen. And it began all at Pentecost. At Pentecost, the beginning of the church age, We moved out of the Old Testament time and we went into this church age. We're in the age of this church. And out from the church, just like we're reading about all of those incredible testimonies of those Gentile brides in the Old Testament, out of that church is going to come a bride. You noticed it was the saints, right, that was given this mystery. So it was the people of God that were given this mystery. It's just like with Rebecca. She was that one that was at the well. But when Abraham sent his servant to go find the bride for Isaac, he didn't send that servant out into the world to find the bride for Isaac. He sent the servant back to his people, to his family, to find the bride for Isaac. That's the age we live in. We live in this church age. There's a family of God here. And the servant's been sent. And that servant is the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is ministering this better thing to those that will have an ear to hear this, to respond to this, to say, Lord, I believe. I want this. Praise God. And then it's game on. Hallelujah. And we go. And we go now. And if you're really in love, it doesn't matter. It really is. People look at you. That's stupid love. Sure it is. Call me a fool, but I'm a fool for Christ's sake. I believe the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Jesus foretold of this. And that's what's so beautiful. Go on over to John 16. Word of God is marvelous. In John 16, in verse 7, here's Jesus and his heart pouring out to his disciples right before he is to be crucified. Not very long here, and he's going to be crucified. And he's telling his disciples this. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Isn't that wonderful? He always tells us the truth. And that's the only truth there is, because he is truth. Praise God. It is expedient, meaning it's profitable for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Oh, yes. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Isn't that wonderful? I have yet many things to say unto you. This is what he's telling his disciples. Remember, he's been with these guys for about 3.5 years. He's told them a lot of things day and night. They've been talking. But have they been listening? It wasn't really the listening. They didn't have the capacity. They needed something. They needed that miracle to understand the better thing. So here it was. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. You can't understand them. You can't receive them. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, that's the Holy Ghost, he will what? Guide you into all truth. Isn't that wonderful? Now, these were guys that left stuff, man. You know, they left their living. They left all these things. And this was a time, this Jesus thing, it was not popular. This was new. And there was only a handful. And they were nuts. They were outcasts. But it was interesting. They really started paying attention to them outcasts. Because they could not deny, thou art the Son of God. Where else can we go? Praise God. And this is what was going on. And they knew it. And Jesus had been with them, and Jesus had broke bread with them, and he had loved them, and they laid upon his breast, and all of these different things. But he said to them, you can't understand these things until I send you the Holy Ghost. And what he's going to do is he's going to guide you into all truth. And what does it say? For the Holy Ghost shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you the things to come. He shall glorify me. There's that glory again. How's the Lord going to get all that glory? Well, he's waiting at the right hand for her right now. Amen. He's going to glorify me. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is going to bring that precious capacity and that message to your heart if you'll let him. of the glory for Jesus. That's his bride. Come on now. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show them. What he'll do is he'll make them known that they're yours. That they're yours. He hasn't withheld a thing from you. Praise God. You've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. This is what the Holy Ghost does for you. Now, brothers and sisters, isn't this clear? I'm sending the Holy Ghost. There are many things I want to tell you. Matter of fact, what I want to tell you is that mystery. What I want to tell you is the better thing. Amen? But you can't understand it until you're filled with the Holy Ghost. And once again, the purpose for the infilling of the Holy Ghost, very, very simple. That you'd be led into all truth. Not some, but all. That you would have enlightened eyes of understanding. Going over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I told you you need your Bibles. Thank you, Lord. If you forgot them today, and even if you have them, go back and listen. I'm going to listen to this. I love this encouragement that God brings to our hearts. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, here it is. And we spoke of this earlier on. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, if it ended right there, we would just all be blown away and sit around here and go, oh my goodness, he loves us so much. This is so incredible. And I've thought wonderful things that I'm going to have with God. And it hasn't even entered into my heart. How beautiful is my God. But again, we're in the time of what? Exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. So the Lord said, oh no, you haven't seen anything yet. Let's go to verse 10. Okay, so he says in verse 9 once again, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. There's the Holy Ghost again. Now, wait a second. You're telling me these things that haven't even entered into an eye hasn't seen, an ear hadn't heard, entered into the heart of men, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For what? For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now we're back to the deep things. You know what that is? That's the mystery. That's the better thing. Hallelujah. We're right back to it again. And who gives you that? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Let's get quickened today. Amen. Quickened. Amen. The Word of God quickens. The deep things, the mystery of the bride for Jesus Christ is now revealed by the Holy Ghost. And maybe as we go on here, the greater evidence of the purpose and this incredible opportunity. The purpose and the incredible opportunity that we have in this age with the infilling of the Holy Ghost, once again, was right after the infilling of the Holy Ghost, Pentecost, when they were up there for those 40 days. It was not very long thereafter that here came Paul's gospel. Paul's gospel. That gospel that brought the revelation of the better thing. The gospel, praise God, that brought the mystery that was hidden. Amen? The gospel, praise God, that opened up this church age to us that Jesus Christ will have a wife. Praise the Lord. And let's rejoice in some of the revealing here. How about the revealing of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? You find that over in Philippians chapter 3. And you go to Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 14, Paul says this. And this again is after Paul has been walking with the Lord for about 30 years. And he's been encouraged in the Lord and just so encouraged in the Lord. And what is he still encouraged in the Lord to do? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing toward the mark for that mystery revealed. I'm pressing toward the mark for the better thing to us. Praise God. Amen. Go on over to Romans 8. Let's rejoice some more. Praise God. And in Romans 8, oh my, how God opens this up to us. And in verse 16 and 17, listen to these things. The Spirit, notice it's always the Spirit See, it's got to be the Holy Ghost that's going to reveal this, or it ain't going to happen. People come into this meeting often. They said, "Brother, I've never heard these things." Spirit and truth. Amen? Praise God. It's the Holy Ghost that does it. Is your heart starting to flutter? Praise God. Even if somebody here today, and I'm sure there are some people here today, you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, but your heart's fluttering. It's not that man speaking something. God's speaking something. And God speaks one thing, and that's His Word. As He says, "I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth." And here's the truth. And look what the Spirit will tell you and witness to you if you listen. In verse 16 of Romans 8, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. And now you think about this. Who's the Spirit going to witness to? He's going to witness to, again, the brethren. So this is the Holy Ghost witnessing to brethren. Just like we read earlier on, that mystery wasn't just given out to the world. It was given to the saints. It was for the saints to receive. There was something more. There was a better thing. "I have many things to tell you, but you can't receive them now. But when He, the Holy Ghost, is come, He will guide you into all truth." All this didn't happen till after Pentecost. Had to have the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It cannot be denied. It's just the Word of God, and it's wonderful. Quit fighting it and believe it. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So right there it testifies this is to the children of God. All right? And if we're children of God, what? Then we're heirs of God. And that little children there, that means an infant. The word in Greek is technon, an infant. All right? Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together with Him. See, we're children of God, infants. We know that. But there now is a different level. Remember when we were there in Ephesians 3, where it said that the Gentiles should now be made joint heirs together with Jesus Christ? That word joint heirs in the Greek is the same word here as joint heirs here. It means as husband and wife. There's something new here. And only the Spirit, once again, can reveal this. And there is a difference because it says we are the children of God. We know that. We know that'll never be taken away. And we're joint heirs with Christ, but there's an if for those that are joint heirs with Christ. There's no if about being a child of God in believing in the blood. That's done. But there is a caveat here, an if you will, to be a joint heir. If so be that we suffer with Him. Did you know that the better thing that was brought in is the message of suffering together with Jesus Christ? Well, I don't want that. Oh, yes, you do. I'll assure you, you do. The Word of God assures us. It says there's nothing to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us for Him. Back to that glory. And how does it end? Yeah, if so be that you suffer together with Him. But He always gives you the consolation. Why? That we may be also glorified together. You got like a short 70, 80 years. Come on, get over ourselves. Amen? We're talking eternity here. Eternity to be glorified together with Jesus. It's okay. You can look at me like I'm a nut, but I'm giving you what the Word of God says. Glorified together with Him forever. 70, 80 years of, well, it's a little suffering time. But if you have this percolating in your heart, it's okay. It's just like Jesus as He went to the cross. "Father, I know what's going to happen here." And it said that there was a joy that was set before Him that He endured the cross. Amen. It wasn't like, "Oh, Father, I don't want to do this." No, no, no. He went there. It was a joy as His face, which was marred more than any other man, was beaten and bruised and torn and ripped. You wouldn't even recognize Him. Except for the smile. under that the joy. Oh my goodness, Father, this is going to be completed. Hallelujah. It is finished. And it is finished that I'm going to ascend. And I'm going to send the power of my might. I'm going to send the comforter. See, this is the message that comforts us. People that are full of the Holy Ghost are living in comfort. Comfort. Because this message comforts me. It don't matter what comes. It may hurt for a moment, but the comforter comes in. The comforter comes in. Let the comforter come in today. That's what we have. That's what he sent. And that's who we believe. Amen. All right, now. We're going on. So, this mystery revealed. I want you to go back one more time to Colossians. We're going to go back to that first chapter. And in verse 26 through 28, once again, so beautiful here. Listen to it. The mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. That's verse 26, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. He's talking about you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that ye may present every man, there's the word I want you to rest in as we close this up today, perfect in Christ Jesus. This means complete. This means finished. This means fully grown, adult, and mature. Oh my, this is awesome. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 13, it says it like this. Till we all come in the unity of faith. So see, this is by faith, is it not? Remember those Old Testament worthies, how did they get worthy? They believed God. You want to be worthy? Believe God. You don't need to work, you just need to believe God. All those ones that you read about in there, they had big flop stories. Big failures, horrible unbelief at times, but they believed God. They believed God. And here's what happens when you believe God. Till we all come in the unity of faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a what? A perfect man. Unto, and what is that perfect man? The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's exciting. At least somebody's getting excited in here. But see what that is. Just remember, when you gave your heart to the Lord, you died and Jesus came to live. Yeah. And you had like a little, if you will, a little baby Jesus. Little baby Jesus. Little Lord of all. He came to live in your heart. He came to live in your life. That's your life. And what does that life want to do? Just like any other life. It wants to grow up. And especially the father of that life. Oh my goodness. And the Lord of that life. There's nothing more you want. You want that child to grow up into everything. Everything that you know it can be. How much do you know and think that the Father knows? How much you can be in his son. Matter of fact, you know how much? To the measure, the fullness, and the stature of Jesus Christ. Yes. To that fullness. Amen. It's hard for people to really fathom this. But then God gives us such example, which is so easy for us. And one of the greatest examples for any of us is a spouse. I married a spouse to be my equal. I didn't marry a spouse to be my servant. I didn't marry my spouse to belittle and live below me. I took my spouse to share everything with me. She's my glory. Everything we have is together. Everything that we experience by the grace of God is together. Our joy is together. Everything that we have, we own. As one. The fullness, the measure, the stature. All right, let's wrap this up. So brothers and sisters, see, this word brings to us this completeness. Once again, the better thing that was given. And what makes you complete for him? It's obvious. It's that mystery revealed. It's the better thing that makes you complete for him. It's taking that. It's that faith. Amen? In what he gave, in what he brought, in what he wanted to give out. And he said, I'm going to give you the capacity to believe it. I'm sending the Holy Ghost. I'm sending the Spirit of Truth. Isn't that amazing? How even the Holy Ghost, one of his names is the Spirit of Truth, right? Why? Because he's the one that has all truth. He's the one that's going to guide you into all truth. That's why it's the Spirit of all truth, if you will, that was coming. That's the infilling. That's the purpose. Praise God. And that's exactly what is ministered in what's known as Paul's gospel. As we read today, Paul's gospel was the gospel that revealed the mystery. Amen? That mystery that had been hidden. Paul said personally, how many times that we read today, and even more so, it was revealed to me. It was given to me for you.
Amen.
And you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. It was given to me for you. The mystery revealed. This is why you come to this meeting. This by the grace of God. Thank God for this meeting that we have. It is. It's living water. It's the river of water of life, and it flows from the throne. There's only one message to preach. It's Paul's gospel, and that's the midst of the throne message. That's the message for you to rule and to reign jointly together with Jesus Christ. And the ones that will be waving a palm, they're not ruling and reigning. They see servant here. And you'll be a servant over there. But the Spirit of Truth brought glorified together with him here. That we be glorified together with him over there. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't it wonderful? Hallelujah. What you take here, hallelujah, is what you're going to have over there. As the Holy Ghost told us earlier on, the things that were hidden and the things that were hidden even from the thoughts of men and their hearts, what God had prepared for them that love him, it's been revealed, has it not? It said yes, by his Spirit, it has been revealed. Because what's the whole goal of it all? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's it. There's a lot of spectacular things in heaven, but the whole focus of it is his wife. It's his glory. It's his glory. Because she gives him all the glory. It's the magnificence of his grace. It's not her, it's Christ in her. It's this magnificent of the mercy and the grace of God. Now, wait a second. Let's not leave before we know what will do it. In Hebrews chapter 5. Oh, yes. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Jesus, strengthen us. I know we've been here a little while, but this is it. This is it. Come on now. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. The exalted rank of righteousness. The crown of righteousness that Paul spoke of. I want to be skillful in that. And milk ain't going to get me there. Going to church and singing song after song after song until I'm blue in the face ain't going to get me there. Going to church and having good feeling ain't going to get me there. Having club fed and club med and whatever club you're going to have ain't going to get me there. Amen. But here's what will get you there. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, an infant. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. Are you thankful by the grace of God that we preach strong meat? Are you thankful? Are you really thankful? And did you see that little two words at the end, full age? You know what that word is? Perfect. You know what that word is? Telio. Those that don't know that, that's the last words that Jesus said on the cross. It is finished. You want this gospel? You want this gospel? You want this gospel? I'm finished for you. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've fought a good fight. I'm ready to be offered. Any wonder why the same word for his finishing, telio, is the same word used for them that eat strong meat and are of full age? It's the same power of the resurrection. It's the same finishing power of the glory of God. And she'll take it. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Ghost and the infilling of the Holy Ghost is vital. It's vital, honeys. It's vital. By the grace of God, don't put it off no longer. I know this excites you because the heart of God always excites you. But it's time. They entered into that upper room for 40 days after Jesus ascended. And he said, you wait. I'm going to send it. And after 40 days of tarrying day and night, they got filled. And they all got filled. I remember tarrying to be filled for the Holy Ghost, and I'd get discouraged. There'd be times I'd go and nothing happened. Time I go and nothing happened. But let that encourage you. You abide. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Oh, and he willed it to happen. He willed it to happen. Believe him for this. Believe him. The infilling of the Holy Ghost, it's right there for you, honeys. And you don't have to wait till camp time. Just come. 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 Let's worship him.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, my beloved. My banner over you is love. Look up. You've been looking at your feet. Look up and see those banners. I look at the banners.
We're going to dismiss. The Lord encourage. I encourage you to hang around and worship the Lord. It'd be a good day to worship the Lord. Praise God.